2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air. Help us celebrate 50 years. Subscribe.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419
8377. This is 3CR's May Day special programming, coming to you on 855 AM, 3CR Digital, and streaming on 3cr.org.au. Thanks so much to Slacker Radio for the last hour and to Mafalda for making space for a May Day special. We've come to the final hour of this broadcasting event where we'll feature recordings from the Multicultural Solidarity Night held at Trades Hall on Thursday, 30th of April. The recordings are brought to you by Marisol Salinas from the Mujeres Latinoamericanas program that airs each Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. in Spanish and Mapudungun. Mafalda will be back next Friday night. This evening, please enjoy the speeches from the May Day Committee's Multicultural Solidarity Night.
The Multicultural Solidarity Night is really an expression of the real central driving force of May Day. Is solidarity with workers, other workers in the struggle in Australia and throughout the world. And then, of course, there's the main event on Sunday through Melbourne, the march through Melbourne and other activities outside the Trades Hall Council, beginning at 1 p.m. on Sunday the 3rd, this coming Sunday, with speakers and working class songs, a barbecue and activities for the kids. Then at 2 o'clock, the march leaves to head downtown, back to Trades Hall, where there will be the final speakers, more singing, more kids' activities, finishing with the reading and carrying of the May Day Solidarity Resolution for 2026, for this 136th May Day. So the May Day Resolution gets sent to a lot of places in the world just to show our solidarity with struggling workers in other countries. So why do May Day activities deserve your support? That's my finishing point. And particularly important for a big turn up on Sunday. May Day is Workers' Day. Each year May Day supports the struggles of workers and their unions for better wages and conditions and for their democratic rights to organise and unionise. May Day supports the struggles of our First Nation people. May Day opposes all wars of aggression and demands peace and justice in the world. Every year, Melbourne May Day organisations bring workers and their unions together and their other community organisations together to demonstrate the range of issues that affect them. So thank you for your support and I hope to see you there someday. Thank you.
Okay, comrades, tonight we have a broad number of speakers, and that's not surprising because there's so many areas of confrontation, so many areas of aggression, and so many areas of threat. And that's just in Australia, let alone around the world. So tonight, to even cover those many areas, we've got a number of speakers that will be dealing with those areas of conflict across the whole world. And, of course, put aside to a certain extent is the threat within the Asia-Pacific region. That's been sidelined. But more importantly, the Palestinian struggle has been sidelined because of all the other additional aggressions that are taking place while the Palestinians are in a really terrible, terrible position. So tonight, unfortunately, we were going to have Tasmin come along and speak. Unfortunately, she had to work, so she can't come along tonight. But I think across the speakers, we'll have a fairly good chance to say something about all the areas, and they all have a common theme the theme of the domination of imperialism and the attempts of a failing Western system of government to serve the people of the world. So we've got plenty of opportunity and we've got plenty of unity. We see in many of the countries around the world, people are willing to stand up and oppose their government's efforts to support genocide and to support aggression and threat. So we're fortunate that we have the speakers along tonight, and hopefully we might get somebody to say something about the current situation in Palestine as well. So the first speaker that I asked to come up is Comrade Omar from the Lebanese Communist Party to talk about the current struggle in Lebanon. Now, the Lebanese Communist Party is one of the organisations sponsoring tonight. Of course, the main sponsor of tonight is the Melbourne May Day Committee. There's also Democritus, the Communist Party of Australia, LASNET, Migranti, and of course our ability to have access to such a magnificent facility is facilitated by the Victorian Trades Hall Council. So we'd like to thank all those organisations today for coming along and supporting this event. So I call on Omar to come up and say a few words about the situation in Lebanon.
Thank you, Comrade Andrew. Just before I arrived here this afternoon, I was actually working. I actually work in the city. As I was catching the lift, a guy knew that I was Lebanese, and he knew what was going on in Lebanon. And he said to me, "Oh, you know, what's going on in Lebanon?" I said, "Well, you're hearing the news." He said, I know. You know, all this attack against Israel." And then straight away to me, that was like, wow, the media. It's exactly what's been used in Palestine as the attack of 7th of October is being used. So, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Omar. I'm from the Lebanese Communist Party in Melbourne, its branch. And I grew up in Lebanon. On this May Day, 2026, despite our mainstream media, what they say, and despite some of our leaders' comments, Israel's aggression towards Lebanon did not start because it was defending itself. For over 50 years, there have been repeated Israeli attacks, invasions, stealing land, naval attacks, border attacks and border raids, drone surveillance, and terrorist attacks on all villages across the southern border of Lebanon. I quickly looked up Google to see how correct their details are. It started in 1948. Israel attacked 12 to 16 villages in southern Lebanon and occupied nine of them for over 20 years.
Shame.
Exactly. Let me hear it again.
Shame.
Thank you. When Israel invaded Lebanon in 1978, Hezbollah did not exist. Israel invaded again in 1982. When it went on a bombing campaign that included civilian infrastructure, destroyed airports, destroyed the entire southern side of Lebanon, and went straight into Beirut. Thousands of Lebanese men, women, and civilians were killed. It would go on to illegally occupy a large area of the Lebanese territory for over 18 years. This is when the resistance was born. Ladies and gentlemen, the resistance was born by the Lebanese Communist Party, along with other left and socialist alliance, which called themselves the resistance. And they fought and they pushed Israel out until at the end of 1989-90. It is also the Lebanese Communist Party that set up a humanitarian organization called the Nejd al-Sha'bi. Najd al-Sha'biyya is a voluntary medical and assistance to help the wounded, the injured, and the poverty people in medical and everything else. And that is still going on right now. It's a humanitarian that serves and supports all people of Lebanon, regardless of their religions, regardless of their political stand. This May Day, with all the atrocities and the hurt that's been inflicted on the Lebanese people and the Palestinian people, we pay tribute to this Najd al-Sha'biyya and the Lebanese Communist Party, who is still assisting on ongoing humanitarian need. Sadly, this is going to require more and more effort from us. We here on the board will try and help as much as we can. That help will never cease. The fact that Israel is backed by America and the Western allies, and sadly by Australia, our government.
Shame.
Exactly. Let me hear it again.
Shame.
Thank you. Israel enjoy an immunity not afforded to anyone that shields its crime, atrocities, and barbaric behavior across that region. And you probably have been seeing what's going on, especially in the last 2 years. Israel has been breaking every single international law, and this has been going on for decades, and it's been protected by the media. They have never been held accountable. But when others resist, they call them terrorists. Ladies and gentlemen, Lebanon will continue fighting. The resistance will continue in Palestine, will continue in Iraq, will continue across the Middle East, until all the foreign invasions leave the people alone and let them decide their own government and their own system. On this day, the Lebanese party, we say long live May Day, we say long live the Najd al-Sha'biyya in Lebanon, we say long live the resistance in Gaza and in Palestine, and we say long live the international May Day. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
One of the things I was able to do was just quickly go down and speak to Kevin Bracken, because Kevin's an activist very much within the Palestinian movement in Victoria, Melbourne. He's got a few injuries from Sydney. He knows well about the situation. He wasn't praying at the time, but he was heavily impacted as no young fella. They seemed to like him, though the police did, so much that they came back twice to get him. But I have asked him to quickly come up and say something about the current situation in Palestine, because Tasmin was unable to come. So if Kevin can come up and say a few words.
Well, I suppose with Palestine, you just think it can't get any worse, and it always has. Over 2 years, you know, Israel's been starving the Palestinian people. No food, cutting the water off, cutting all the medicine off, killing aid workers, killing humanitarian workers, killing journalists. There's nothing they can't do. They think that there's nothing. And the disappointing part for me as an Australian is that the government here supports them so much. I detest what they're doing to the Palestinian people. I also hate what they're doing to Australia too. We've had a time here when we've been involved in wars, we've protested against their wars, and now they're saying we can't do it anymore. It's just not only what they're doing to, you know, to the Palestinian people, it's what they've done to our country too. We need to wake up to it, and the amount of power that the Israeli lobby has in Australia and overseas too, in just about every Western country, needs to be really closely examined. And I know even just from Kevin Rudd, just before he got deposed, he'd objected the Israeli ambassador because Israel had sent a hit team into Dubai to knock off the head of one of the Hamas leaders. They'd used Australian passports. So quite rightly, he ejected the Israeli ambassador. That Sunday night, Michael Gambi, Mark Dreyfus, and the head of the Zionist Council met with him, read him his horoscope, and a week and a half later, he was no longer the Prime Minister. And don't worry about it, they've got enormous power here and you need to go back and have a look at it. This government's supposed to be operating for us. Look what they've done to the Palestinian people, not only to Palestine, look what they're doing to Lebanon, also to Iran. Totally, Iran was, there was no threat to the USA at all, you know. And Iran has been one of the few countries that stood up for the Palestinian people. And it's with Iran, the people from Lebanon, who have been still fighting the Israelis in the southern, in all over Lebanon now. And they were the ones who were, lost my point of view. Yeah, I'm having a senior moment. But everyone who's been supporting the Palestinian people, Iran's been one of them all the way there. And Iran actually is giving the USA a bit of a hiding too, and it's fantastic. You see, you know, it's disgraceful what they've done. And they said from the start they were going to shut the Straits of Hormuz down, and they knew that was going to happen. Now, this has been impacted upon people all over the world. You know, we're all paying for it now in the petrol stage too, but also your superannuation money is going to go down, cost of everything is going to go up. And it's not like the, as our friend over there was saying, the trickle-down effect, it's the trickle-up effect, where more and more money's going from the common people up to fewer and fewer people there. And the other effect too has happened, is that because 30% of the fertiliser, and they knew this was going to happen, comes from the gas produced from the Persian Gulf, within 6 months there'll be 3 or 4 billion people starving in the world. It's another effect that the people who really pull the strings in the world, you know, the ones who are faceless, you know, we don't talk about, but you know, they run all the big corporations. It's another effect that's going to have on them too. It's drawing wealth out from all the people, and it's also, you have a look at Elon Musk. I'm getting off the subject a bit. He was just at the World Economic Forum and said, soon we're going to have more robots than what we've got human beings here. There's another agenda going on here, and we need to wake up to it. And our government's just been not speaking up for our people here. What's happened with the price of, you know, they say they can't do anything about inflation. All the gas that we produce here is produced in Australia. But yet we've agreed to pay world parity price. All that money's going to gas companies. It's being paid for out of us, and we're not getting any benefit. We're the largest exporter of LNG in the world, but Qatar gets $30 billion. They export less gas than what we do, $30 billion in royalties. We export more than them and we get $800 million for it. We're giving away that's the wealth of our country, which belongs to everyone here. It shouldn't be given away to make people like Gina Reinhart, you know, with $46 billion richer and richer. I started talking about Palestine, but I just wanted to say, in a general way, how all things get back here. And it's about what common people are paying, making the world's, as Mahatma Gandhi said, there's enough in this world for every man's need. There can never be enough for any man's greed. And we need to actually work together to make this country a better place, speak up for justice, and I congratulate everyone for coming here tonight. Thank you.
As I said, Kevin was up in Sydney at the time of the last demonstration where the New South Wales applied laws that have now been deemed to be illegal. The suppression of people's rights, and I mean, it was a disgusting exercise in Sydney where they charged people and corralled them into a corner and wouldn't allow them to leave, and now it's been ruled to be illegal. This is what we mean by the bias of the governments of Australia towards the Zionist state in Israel and the crime that they're committing. But this is nothing new. And of course, you wonder why President Trump doesn't really seem, well, apart from his psychosis, doesn't seem to be so concerned about the oil and the fact that the oil isn't coming out of the Persian Gulf, apart from the fact that they don't really get that much from the Persian Gulf anyway. But one of the announcements that was very interesting recently, where the Australian government saying, oh, we're allowing people to buy oil from here and oil from there. For the first time in many years, we are getting tankers from the United States.
Exactly.
We do not get oil from the United States, but now we're buying it from the United States. And there's many countries around the world that are buying gas from the United States. So the Americans are quite happy for this to go on because they're making a fortune. Forget about the armaments industry, that's another thing altogether. We know how much they're making. But just the oil industry is making a fortune. I was also very taken by a presentation that Sister Pat made, I think it was at Unitarian Church, about intimidation in Australia. And we already know the reports and the attempt in the Parliament to put through draconian legislation to stop anybody saying anything about the genocide in Palestine. So they wanted to change the law to advantage the Zionists to the point where you couldn't criticise Israel for what they were doing. And Sister Pat's contribution was extremely detailed and telling about what's happening in universities and schools when it comes to teachers and students, and what they're doing to the students and threatening the teachers to stop them having anything to do with supporting the Palestinian people. And it's just an ongoing grinding process of attacks against just that sector. And it shows, you know, what they're willing to do to try and stop people supporting the Palestinian people. The last one, and I'll say this, and this is going to become a big issue. They've been carrying on a little bit this week about those people that are saying nasty things. CFMEU's a great one. They're doing the Royal Commission up in Queensland. And they were saying, oh, the terrible things the CFMEU did. They came in and the boss was shouting at them, telling them to get out of his office. They've got no right to be in his office. And they said, oh, the CFMEU refused to go because they wanted to talk about the agreement with the union. And they were saying, oh, this was a criminal that the CFMEU was standing up for their members. This is the sort of rubbish that they were talking in the commission. Yeah, mind you, the leader has resigned from his job, but nobody quite knows why he's resigned. Maybe he got caught with his hand in the till, even more than he's supposed to. But one of the things that was very important a few weeks ago, one of our branches up in Sydney, the Communist Party, was having a stall in support of the BDS. And while they were doing that, this big, tall guy rocked up, knocked one of our comrades over, pulled up the Palestinian flag, threw it out of the way, and abused the hell out of our members. Fortunately, we were recording it. So anyway, the comrades, you know, kept going with their stall, but at the end they went off and they reported to the police that this guy had come in and threatened them in the stall. Oh, who was this guy? The whole of Northern Sydney has been chasing this guy because he's been going around threatening everybody. He's got a website saying how wonderful it was that we were killing all the Palestinians, all the Palestinians. How we're going to go into Lebanon and kill all the Lebanese as well. Who was he? He was an Australian citizen that had just returned from serving in the Israeli army killing people in Palestine. He was allowed to come back in January from Palestine, go around saying how wonderful it was that we were going and cleansing Gaza of all the Palestinians and going around abusing anybody. Funny enough, he's now in jail. So they got him, they arrested him. But how in the hell can somebody who's been serving in the Israeli army killing people and bragging about killing people and saying how wonderful it was to kill people. He's okay. He's okay on the streets. It's only that he's been doing it to so many people and he's put it up on a website that they came and they finally grabbed him. But there's not just one, there's a lot more than one that are over there serving and are coming back to Australia. Who were the terrorists? And they're being able to roam around do what they want. That's okay for the Australian government and for the New South Wales government in particular. Marie Delora, who's also a member of the choir, is coming up as one of the many countries that are being threatened by the United States, more directly than most, and most hated by the United States, is Cuba. Currently, they're on watch alert for attacks, and of course, Trump has threatened to attack Cuba as soon as he's finished with Iran, but the solidarity, the international solidarity of the world is with Cuba. And so Marie Delora is the president of the Melbourne branch of the Cuba Friendship Society. And I can say that 2 weekends ago there was a national meeting of the Cuba societies from across Australia. Very strong solidarity message was adopted, and a lot of plans were made to support Cuba. So I'll leave it over to Marie, and she'll say something about the current struggle.
Thanks very much, Andrew. Thank you. Since late January this year, US President Donald Trump has been signalling that he's planning to overthrow the Cuban government. He's made threatening, boastful, disrespectful comments about Cuba, such as, for example, I collected some of them, "Cuba is a failed nation. I have the honour of taking it in some form," whatever that means, "and I think I could do anything I want with it. They're a very weakened nation right now. And also, they are going to either make a deal or we'll do it, just as easy anyway," which doesn't even make sense. But the results of Trump's arrogance has been disastrous for the Cuban people. Cuba currently faces the worst crisis since before the revolution. The US is deliberately causing hunger and death. As you know, the US has blockaded the Caribbean Sea and stopped any country that usually sends oil to Cuba. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum has been a loyal supporter of the Cuban people, but she stopped sending oil due to US threats. She has sent humanitarian aid, but she's no longer sending oil. Like Australia, Cuba depends on imported oil. Over 90% of Cuba's liquid fuel is imported, the same with Australia. And Cuba relies on oil to power hospitals, schools, sanitation, to pump water to homes, so you can't have water pumped into your home if there's no oil. So Cuba is working hard, and has been for a long time, to use more solar energy and other alternative energy sources. But just like Australia, it still depends on oil. So the only tanker to deliver oil to Cuba since the start of this year, imagine, power outages and lack of oil. Since the start of this year, the only tanker has been a Russian tanker, the Anatoly Kolodkin, which arrived in Cuba on the 1st of April. You can imagine the relief. And it's very heartening when you're blockaded by such a powerful country to have Russia send you 700,000 barrels of crude oil. Of course, it still has to be refined, so there was quite a wait from the 1st of April, but that's a fantastic change for Cuba. In Cuba at the moment, there are fewer vehicles on the roads. Several airlines have suspended their flights to Cuban destinations. Air Canada and Turkish Airlines have both said, well, there's no aviation fuel, we're not going to be flying into Cuba, which is a serious issue when you rely so much on tourist industry. You can imagine that Cuba's had to rely on tourism to keep it going. And one Cuban surgeon recently explained that it's dangerous to carry out heart surgery using a generator because generators can cut out. And, of course, if there's a power outage, it's a serious effect on surgery. The other thing that doctors have said is that they've described using light from a mobile phone to continue a procedure when the light's cut out. So you can imagine, people die for sure, and the lack of food also means that people are dying. In neonatal intensive care units, nurses have been forced to rush to manually pump air to help keep the ventilators going. And of course, if they're not there or for some reason it doesn't work, the baby dies. So you can see that the situation is extremely serious. I just wanted to point out an absolute piece of evidence of total hypocrisy on the part of the United States. Not that you probably need examples, but US Secretary of State Marco Rubio said in late March that Iran's efforts to control the Strait of Hormuz and establish a tolling system are illegal, an outrage, unacceptable, and a violation of international law. As you know, this statement reveals the utter hypocrisy. The US administration are blocking the area of the Caribbean around Cuba in a much worse way than anything Iran is doing. So, but of course, there's so many examples of hypocrisy. They are threatening to remove Cuba's leader, Manuel Díaz-Canel. He looks much thinner than he used to, and I'm sure he's worrying about his people and what the United States might do, because Donald Trump is so hard to predict. But one of the theories that people have given for motivating Trump is the feather in the cap theory. And that feather in the cap theory refers to the fact that Donald Trump cares about his legacy. And if 11 or however many presidents haven't been able to overthrow the achievements of the Cuban people, he will do it and be the famous Donald Trump who managed to help the Cuban exiles in Miami have a success and see, forget about the welfare of the people of Cuba, the deaths, and if they were to bombard Cuba, which they don't seem to be putting troops on the ground anywhere, so they look like they could do bombing, it would be hell on wheels, as you can imagine. Anyway, I'll finish up by saying that I want to quote something that has been said by Arundhati Roy, the MST, the Landless Movement in Brazil, and by Fidel Castro, and that is, another world is possible.
You're tuned to 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, and streaming on 3cr.org.au. We're bringing you speeches from the May Day Committee's Multicultural Solidarity Night, which was held on Thursday, 30th of April at Trades Hall, and this has been recorded by Marisol Salinas. We're listening to the Trades Hall Choir and more speakers coming up shortly.
I have a million nightingales on the branches of my heart. I have a million nightingales on the branches of my heart, singing freedom, 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 singing freedom. Branches of my heart.
So this year, well, over the last year, the choir has been doing a number of performances at different venues and events, some very impressive events. So when they come back up, I know that there's a big event coming up that they're performing at, and hopefully they'll sort of mention that event, because I know it's going to be a very important event and needs to be promoted. I'm not quite sure how they got the Guernsey, but it's going to be a very big event, and they're going to be performing with some very well-known performers. So we'll go on with our reports. So at this stage, I call on Marisol to come up. Now, Marisol is a long-time Latin American activist through LASNET, and she's been involved in many areas of activities. And she's only talking about Latin America. When we started listing the countries in there, we've taken out Cuba, but there's a lot of countries. So Marisol has a big area to cover when it comes to intimidation and threats, especially starting with Venezuela. So Marisol.
Gracias, compañeros. Thank you very much, everyone. I would like to acknowledge the land where we are, the Wurundjeri people for the Kulin Nations. Also, I would like to pay my respect to the elders past, present, and emerging, and to leave clear that this land has never been ceded. Normally, I don't read, but I've been working all day, and I don't feel confident. So I'm going to read, and if, for whatever reason, I skip my reading, I will just say things. So what's happening in Latin America is nothing new. I heard of all the other speakers here today, and we have so many similarities. So U.S. is one of the main problems we are facing at the moment in Latin America and all around the world. So the U.S. imperialism in Latin America has been a continuous historical process, which began in earnest in the late 19th century, long time ago, yeah? It is characterized by military, political, and economic intervention in all our countries. We have the Monroe Doctrine, you know, and the Roosevelt Colonnade implemented in Latin America. So this is not just United States, it's also countries from Europe, you know, trying to get our natural resources. And through that process, they don't care if they kill people, if they displace communities, if they come and pollute our rivers. It's terrible, especially when we talk about this. We have also the consequences, you know, the economic doctrine or the dominance, you know, that dominance that we have in Latin America. So large U.S. companies, I see so many here in Australia too, you know, such as the United Fruit Company. We have so many areas in Latin America where there is an illegal plantations, soya plantations, tomato plantations with chemicals, you know, using pesticides who not just kill the communities of people who live around, also children born with deformations, you know, six fingers in their hand. But no one talk about this. No one talk about what these companies are doing in our continent. The political instability. So we know that United States has been constantly intervening in the decision that the people, you know, from every different Latin American country made. So now with Donald Trump it's more clear because he said it openly. I don't want these lefties. So I'm gonna put money, I want Milei in Argentina, I want in Honduras, you know, Naxti, and definitely. But it's not just Trump. Every president, you know, in the United States has been doing the same thing. So we move into the sovereignty of our territories. We have military bases everywhere in Latin America. Why? Because that's what they need to control what we do. That's what they need to take the good governments, the governments that people elect. So this is the situation that we have been confronting for such a long time. Some of us, we are here in Australia, there is exiled people, there is people who came for economic reason, escaping, you know, what United States has been doing in our continent. Currently, we have Donald Trump trying to implement again the Monroe Doctrine, and we know what that means. You know, that means what he's doing at the moment, organizing meeting with all the extreme right-wing people, you know, in those meetings deciding what is next, what companies are coming into our continent. For example, in Chile, we have a new president, because in Latin America, you know, the far right is rising. You know, we are again seeing so many countries, you know, moving into the extreme right. And always the question is why? Why? Why the poor people vote for the rich people? Why the poor people think the rich people will save them? Because they're the one who oppress us. They're the one who take our possibilities. They're the one who take the hope from our people, but we continue voting for them. And that's what they, you know, we see constantly. Why? I'm not a psychologist, so I really don't know. I wish we will. Donald Trump, or not Donald Trump, you know, Kass is the president in Chile. He already, he moved into the government on the 11th of March, you know, a little bit more than a month. He already canceled more than 48 laws allowing multinational corporations to come and do whatever they want in our territory. And what that means, I'm an indigenous Mapuche from Chile, so into my people's land. So what that means, that now we don't have any law who will protect us. And he took less than a month to make all those changes. He's taking all the beneficial support for students. For example, in Chile, you are 30 plus, you will not get assistance. There is no way that you will get assistance because he also took that support if you are 30 plus. We have also, you know, in Argentina, Milei, another Donald Trump, crazy people. People who, I don't know where they come from, but yeah, they think money is everything and they can do whatever they want. And they can, unfortunately. And we have to face that, yeah? Because they do whatever they want. We are here talking, we complain, we campaign, we rally. It's important so we can build our hope. Changes? I don't know. We'll see how we go. We have good governments in Latin America. It's not everything is bad, but just let's mention the bad ones. Argentina, Ecuador. In Ecuador, can you believe it? The president born in Miami, he's not Ecuadorian, and he's the president of Ecuador. Is that possible that you will have a president here born in another part of the world where every time one of his child is gonna, you know, is gonna have the, his wife is gonna give birth, he traveled to Miami to make sure they're born in United States. So they are American citizens. That's Ecuador. How disgusting is that? We have also El Salvador, someone who was for a long time part of the left movement. And look what he's doing today. He has all those, you know, jails where Donald Trump is sending all the Mexican and Latin Americans who are in the United States. You know, they call it illegal aliens. Imagine. We have the president of El Salvador opening, you know, the jail so Donald Trump can do whatever they want. If you see how Latin American people have been mistreated every day in the United States, it's disgusting. We have Honduras. Let's talk about Honduras. In Honduras, there were elections. The people's candidate was, you know, very close to win. Donald Trump said, no, 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 I don't like him. I like Nazi. All right, I'm going to put money. I want him to win. Who do you think won the election? Donald Trump's candidate. He's the new Honduras president. This is the world we have at the moment, at least in Latin America. You know, this is how things are moving. And very fast, that's what they do. Trump is very worried because it's still in Brazil. We have Lula, you know, center left. We have Petro in Colombia, center left. We have Nicaragua, we have Cuba, you know, Venezuela, we can call the left governments because all the other ones are center left governments. We have Mexico, still a good government. But what I'm trying to say is like, how important is to talk about solidarity? How important is May Day? Because no matter everything that I already mentioned to you, in Latin America, in Cuba, rallies on the 1st of May, they are humongous. People, workers go to the streets. Because it's not just about the working class, it's the working class and their families going to the street to commemorate the Workers' Day. No matter if in Latin America we don't talk about the 8 hours, yeah, because we already have laws where they can make you work over 14 hours if it's needed. Here in Australia, you can choose. In Latin America, we are losing all those rights. The other country where the same thing, we are not having good president at the moment is in Peru. What can I say? Costa Rica, Panama, same situation. We are facing the invasion of the American people. And we are facing the invasion in our Patagonia. Now, I'm not sure if many of you know Patagonia. Patagonia is a beautiful place. And now, in the Argentinian side, Milei gave permission to the Israeli to settle there. And so many of them are moving slow into the Chilean part of the Patagonia. So we don't have Argentinians or Chileans there. Israeli people moving into our territory. Why? Because the resources, the water. No one talk about those things. No one talk about what United States and Israel are doing. And it's true. We have so many countries oppressed, so many people. But that's why it's important to continue organizing this kind of event. I invite some friends and they were, oh, every year the same thing. And I was like, it's not the same thing. They're killing people. In Palestine, Lebanon, Iran, Latin America, everywhere they're killing people. It's not the same. We need to be here. We need to organize. We need to mobilize. You know, I think that's the lack that we have. Look how many Latin Americans are here. Four? Three, four. I saw two there, two, four. How many came here as exile, running from the dictatorship of Pinochet, from El Salvador, you know, escaping the dictatorship in Peru, Uruguay? Why they are not here? And I think that's the question, yeah? We need to organize, we need to mobilize, we need to convince people, we need to inform people about what's happening. May Day is important because we make it important. It's important because we are the workers. We work. Immigrants in Australia, we, from the day one, we come here and start working. So we are the working class in Australia. So have a happy May Day, compañeros. La próxima.
Such horrible leaders there. Is it just the money or is there something that they're saying that's influencing?
I think it's because, I think, you know, there was a leftist important meeting in Spain, you know, where the president of Spain, Sanchez, invited all the presidents, you know, from Latin America who are still center-left or left. And in that meeting, the president of Brazil, Lula da Silva, said something that we all know. When we get elected in Latin America, he said, we promise changes. We promise that education will be accessible, housing will be accessible, work will be accessible, human rights will be respected. But when we are in the government, we don't do it. We don't do what we promise. So the people are sick and tired of our promises, but because we never do it, they want something else. They want to try something else to see if that something else will give them what they need. I think that's the answer.
Thank you. Thank you.
noticing this, but in Minnesota, has been incredible action by people to fight the effects of ice. They've put absolute brutality on the streets there, several people being killed. But one of the features of what's happening in Minnesota is there's a lot of singing. There is a lot of singing. There is singing to grieve. There is singing to encourage people. There is singing to ask ICE people to change sides. There is singing for every purpose. And this is one of the songs from Minnesota. Well, I hope you would sing it with us, because it's a very instant song. You'll straight away know how to sing it. So this side over here, the basses and the altos, if you could sing with them, that would be good. And this side, if you could sing with them. There's only a few words. We are here with each other. Our love for each other will carry us through. Isn't that all it is? And we change some of the word, key words, but that's all the words. It's not very good.
We are here. We are here. We are here.
To round out our May Day special broadcasting event today, we've just been bringing you speeches and song from the Multicultural Solidarity Night that was held by the May Day Committee at Trades Hall on Thursday, 30th of April. Thanks to all the fantastic programs across the day. You can have a look at the grid and listen back to the audio soon at 3cr.org.au/Mayday 2026. Remember to come along to the Mayday Committee's rally and march on Sunday the 3rd of May outside Trades Hall on the corner of Lygon and Victoria Streets in Carlton. It begins at 1 p.m. and runs through to 4 p.m. And you can find all the details at the official site of the Mayday Committee Melbourne, maydayvictoria.com. If you can't make it in person, tune in to 3CR from 2 till 4 p.m. for a live broadcast from the event, and that will be hosted by Marisol Salinas from the Mujeres Latino Americanas program and Annie McLaughlin from Solidarity Breakfast and the Stick Together Show. Have a lovely evening and stay tuned to 3CR's May Day special programming.
Did you know that Western Sahara is Africa's last colony? The issue of Western Sahara was raised in the Eddie Mabo case referencing Terra Nullius. Western Sahara is illegally occupied by Morocco. Indigenous Sahrawis are denied their right to self-determination. France continues to veto United Nations human rights observation in Western Sahara. Sahrawi people are being killed by Israeli drones. Like to learn more? Become informed. become an Australia Western Sahara Association member at awsa.org.au. Australian Western Sahara Association is a 3CR supporter.
The system is broken. Delays, denials, and profit-driven decisions are hurting real people, physically, mentally, and financially. Add your support to the call for change by the Injured Workers Support Team. Visit the Parliament of Victoria website, find the Legislative Reform for Workers' Compensation System e-petition, and add your name. Stand with the IWST and injured workers. Demand a system that is centred on recovery, dignity and safety. Sign the petition today. IWST is a 3CR supporter.
Solidarity Breakfast, your Saturday morning serving of union and working news, current events, opinion and talkback. Every Saturday, 7:30 till 9 a.m. here on 3CR, 855 on your AM dial.
Tune in to Stick Together, all about workers' rights and social justice.
8:30 a.m. Wednesday, 7 a.m. Saturday.
Or listen on demand on 3CR's website, 3cr.org.au.
3CR.